Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 31st of May, recording at 9:07 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights. Predictably, the Pacific region stock markets were hit fairly hard today. The Nikkei down nearly 2.5%. I think India's Sensex index had the biggest drop, although it closed well off the lows, indicating that demand is still coming in and near that 10,000 level. And European markets, now this is interesting because they opened weak. I remember they had a big downside day, very big downside day yesterday. So they opened weak, but then rebounded quite impressively. So gains up to 1.8% in terms of the Italian index. And Wall Street, after a bit of a seesaw day, closed out near the highs. Well, seesaw day, and it was up pretty much the whole time, but I gave up most of the gains about an hour before the close, and then rallied quite well. So this all shows that the right-hand extension phase of these top formations continues. Okay, and government bonds are weaker in here today on fears that central banks are behind the curve of inflation. And elsewhere, we saw a steadier dollar here, perhaps a delayed reaction to the Paulson nomination. And then in terms of economic data, the Chicago Purchasing Managers figure was a fair bit higher than expected, and so that clearly would have lent a little bit of support to the US dollar. And that hit precious metals quite hard. Although they're rallying off those lows now. And that's pretty much it. Nickel among the firmest in metals, although it got hit yesterday. This is interesting because we have a strike there. We see falling stockpiles as a consequence of that, and we also see a backwardation in that market. Okay, let's get back to stock markets here. Now, if you go through the charts, go through the long-term charts, including the point and figure charts and those 20-year plus monthly candlestick charts and the weekly candlestick charts, even the dailies. Well, look at the lot. I'm really assigning a big task here, but it isn't anything that I wouldn't and haven't done myself here. And I suggest it because it's illuminating. Because first, you see a lot of key reversals, particularly monthly key reversals for the month of May, of course. And those are showstoppers and almost certainly trend stoppers. And all the technical evidence suggests to a type 2 top formation, as taught at the chart seminar, of medium-term significance in all probability. And the additional evidence, the daily charts, show that we are still in this right-hand extension phase, where we get a lot of whipsaw ranging, but beneath the peaks that we actually saw on the various indices. Now, not all charts show that type of pattern. Markets that had peaked earlier on show different forms of overall top development. The Nikkei, for instance, shows more of a ranging type 3 pattern, and if it gets some right-hand extension rally in here, as I suspect it will, in addition to what we've already seen, people will start talking about a head and shoulders. And I don't want to digress too much into jargon here overall, but the evidence is quite compelling, to me at any rate, that medium-term correction that I had forecast for the second and third quarters of this year is underway, and that we will see lower levels in here eventually. But don't be surprised if markets sort of range around for a while over the next few weeks. And I'd be careful against this background overall. But careful is not sort of a code word for meaning panic out of situations. I haven't panicked out of any of my investments. Sure, I look back and I think, gosh, wouldn't it have been nice if I'd sold the J.P. Morgan Fleming? It's the, let's see, it's no longer Fleming. It's the J.P. Morgan India Trust, because that fell 50% before a very good bounce. But those are core positions, and I was happy to have my hedge short positions instead, as you're aware. I don't like to change my investments all that much. And one that's benefiting in here from on a number of different fronts is Inco. It's one of my core metal investments. The other two favorite positions there are BHP Billiton and Rio Tinto. Could they come lower over the next few months? Well, I expect it, actually. I wouldn't mind being pleasantly surprised on the upside, and I wouldn't mind it if they came lower. I'd probably buy more, as I do have cash on the sidelines that I have been holding and accumulating, waiting for this medium-term correction. And I wouldn't mind being spoiled for choice. And I'll put most of that money into the resources markets, and particularly the emerging markets. And here, I will almost certainly heavily weight in favor of the Asian markets overall. Vietnam's on my shopping list. More India, that's certainly on my shopping list. In terms of developed country markets, I might find Japan irresistible, and Korea, South Korea irresistible if they come back a bit further. So, again, I'm not looking for more than a medium-term correction, and I do think we will get a wonderful buying opportunity. And I expect the recovery rally to have commenced certainly before year end. I wouldn't be surprised if this correction has completed well by the end of October, and possibly it could easily occur sooner, depending on events that have yet to unfold regarding interest rates, a certain amount of, well, hurricane season, which could easily affect the oil prices, gas prices, and so on. So, but did I mention the Inco? I started to, but benefiting from a strike in the nickel market, benefiting from, well, just good valuations, but benefiting from the bid that it has received, and also of interest because of its bid for Falcon Bridge. So there's a whole lot going on there, and that's really very steady overall. So, you know, I'm not wringing my hands about investment portfolio positions where I'm inevitably seeing profit erosion during a medium-term correction. What I'm more interested in the short term is thinking about trading situations, and if this right-hand extension trading lifts stock markets a bit further, as I hope, and that's say take them above the rallies that we had seen at the beginning of the week, and if that were to occur, that would tempt me increasingly to open some more hedge shorts. But I'm not going to be too aggressive about anything in here, because this is a choppy, nervous time overall. And rather than expend a lot of energy in some risky trading activities, I'm content to and scale down the trading activity as I have, but keep my hand in where opportunities appear. There are always opportunities, but to really just monitor events and plan for what I think will be a great buying opportunity in a few months' time. And this second year of the U.S. presidential term, veteran subscribers will remember me saying and writing often in the past that it was usually the most dodgy year of the U.S. presidential cycle. I'll probably write a little bit about this tomorrow or on Friday because there's so many new subscribers who've come on board, and I'll want to bring them up to date in terms of that back market history. But the main reason, in a nutshell, why in the second year of a U.S. presidential election cycle, and that's 2006, of course, tends to be the least rewarding in terms of stock market performance, is because the central bank and its Faustian pact with the White House helps to goose the economy up prior to the election, and then they sort of have to clean the Augean stables a little bit during the first 2 years of the new term. And so you get interest rates moving up, and the economy has enough momentum usually in the first year not to be bothered by that, but interest rates begin to jeopardize economic growth in the second year. And that's pretty much where we are right now. So second year of a US presidential election cycle, a long rise in interest rates, and no evidence yet that that's over. Now, that's not a great opportunity in terms of further stock market gains. It's an environment of increasing risk, and now we've seen the type 2 top activity spread across so many stock market indices. So the next great buying opportunity will occur when valuations are a bit lower, where stock market levels are a bit lower, and the lower they move in the short term, the better those buying opportunities will actually be. And when it also looks as if we're likely to see some interest rate reductions, and there is still a risk that we will see further interest rate hikes in here before then. I would say, for instance, that if stock markets were quite steady in a right-hand extension phase of ranging rallies, that would virtually guarantee some further interest rate cuts. Conversely, if the right-hand extension phase is quite brief and stock markets run again on the downside, and the big risk, as I've said yesterday, remains to the downside for the short to medium term, that if markets are weak, then that will stay the hand of central banks more likely than not, certainly relative to what they might have done otherwise, whereas stronger stock markets, top testing stock markets, and they may well turn their attention to inflation. Okay, government bonds. You know, I don't like this sector in here, although I'd be delighted to see the bond futures prices rally somewhat further. Now, the only remaining futures position that I have, and it's one that I had put on and come off or been stopped out, taking some modest profits, but then had some late entry positions which I didn't take out. Currently trading at a loss, small stake in the JGBs, and I will roll that forward tomorrow. I'll take that loss on the June contract and roll it into the September contract. But what I'd like to do is to establish my bigger hedge positions, whether in JGBs or the others. And at times I've had the Treasuries, the U.S. 10-year short, 10-year government bonds, the U.K. gilts, and also the Eurobonds. But I've taken profits on all those, and I would say I'd be delighted to see a further rally there. And the only thing that I think could actually cause that bigger rally would be another fright in stock markets on the downside. And since I expect that, I'm going to hold off here and see if I get lucky in terms of a government bond market rally creating that next short opportunity. In terms of currencies, I'm not doing anything in here. I was going to say I'm not doing a whole lot right now. I'm not doing anything right now. I've stood aside, took those remaining profits in the US dollar position a while back, as you may recall. And having had a look through the chart library, always illuminating, and looked at the charts of gold in various different currencies, gold's getting a well-deserved breather, its own medium-term consolidation, and that could easily last for a number of months here, with mostly ranging activity overall. And during that ranging activity, I really feel that gold and silver, the two main monetary metals, are buys on the sell-offs. And then, because we're most likely to see an overall ranging pattern from a trading perspective, one should be taking profits on the rallies. I certainly wouldn't be shorting them. They're in an overall bull market, and I don't like to play both sides in an uptrend. In an uptrend, I'm only willing to run longs for the most part, and certainly in this uptrend. But I would expect a fair amount of ranging activity, and that will create some buy low, sell high trading opportunities. And as I've said before, that those who hold a portion of their portfolio in gold bullion, almost certainly through those Barclays ETFs or something like bullionvault.com, or you may actually hold the bars, but those who hold gold, it's one of the things that I would be least worried about over the next many years. But gold has peaked against all the currencies that you'll see in the chart library, I think the 28 of them, for the short to medium term, and so I expect the sort of ranging consolidation before this primary secular bull market resumes, and I think gold will go a whole lot higher from here, and multiple higher over the next 10 to 20 years. It really is hard money once again. Agricultural commodities, Owen has been looking at those quite closely, and we kind of behooves us to all do that. He's got that feeder cattle position, and that's had a quiet day in here today, but it's been moving up nicely overall. Some of the other soft commodities, cotton, base formation development taking place there. Maybe some drought problems. Weather's too hot in the U.S. growing regions. So it merits a look from a trading perspective overall. And one ray from the grave here. Small upside key day reversal in the natural gas market today. I'll post that chart shortly after completing this audio, and well, I'll get on with that right now, because I think that's a wrap in terms of the coverage that I wanted to discuss with you. So again, all the best.